Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to the John Chukwi Show. Hanging out with you here on a Thursday night. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Don't forget your radio.com app to download it. Get that sooner rather than later because we know you want to listen to the station, but not spending nearly as much time in your car as what you used to. Well, there's an easy way to do it. The radio.com app. Put that on one of your smart devices, smart speakers, your Sega Genesis, Commodore 64, text system is calculated, whatever you got for a device. That way you can catch us on the go. Social media is all at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. The best way, as always, to be a part of our show and follow us and all the latest happenings, it is through our personal Twitter handles. You can catch me at JMCH316, at JMCH316. That is all of your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. He is still back in Midtown producing the show, hanging out behind the glass. It is Jarvis. Jarvis in the building at JarvisD90, at JarvisD90. So coming up at 8:20, we will talk to D. Orlando Ledbetter with all the latest, the news and notes and everything going on around the Atlanta Falcons. But Dante Fowler today was making the media rounds, both for all the local media around town, and then also had a chance to catch up with Andy and Randy on our midday show. We've got some clips here that we want to play you. As I always tell you, a lot of times don't get a chance to listen to these interviews live when they happen, and don't usually get a chance to listen to them before my show. And part of that is just I'm a working stiff, and I don't really get the opportunity to listen to the station. Second is the fact that I also like the organic reaction of let me hear it live, you know, this first time on air, and then let me respond to all of it. Let's start with Dante Fowler as he talks about learning a lot from his past.
I'm coming, you know, with a different type of mentality. Like, you know, I'm out here to prove something. I know my team is out here to prove something as well.
Now, we're going to talk about Dante Fowler's cap situation coming up in the Falcon flyover because it's really nice this year, but whoo, is it a doozy as it moves along, you know, forward. Look, Dante Fowler was part of a team that looked like it was the next hot young thing, that next sexy thing. They were on the cusp of a Super Bowl in the AFC title game against the big bad Patriots and actually had them down. But, unfortunately, their quarterback couldn't make a play to save his life and couldn't make a play when they needed it. And instead of going out and getting the one thing that you needed most of all, they went and got Nick Foles. And the rest, as they say, is history. Well, now Dante Fowler goes on to the Rams and, of course, is part of a team that gets to the Super Bowl. Playing on one of the better defenses, and again, really next to, you know, maybe the best defensive player or one of them in Aaron Donald. You know, Donald, you know, Khalil Mack, J.J. Watt, you know, whoever you want to put out there. You know, Donald, Mack, whatever, you know, how you want to do them 1-2, but playing for a terrific defense. So, you know, here's Fowler coming in, having coming off of a few years of playing for really up-and-coming young franchises. You know, Jacksonville was the young up-and-coming franchise. The Rams were the up-and-coming franchise. Now he comes in here to a franchise that needs to get back on the winning track. You know, it's not an up-and-coming young franchise. Are there young players? Yes. But, you know, when you have Matt and Julio and Alex Mack and, you know, even Jake Matthews at this point, you know, you've got, you know, guys that have been around now for a while. You've got guys that are, you know, veteran, long-term guys, you know, that have led this organization to its best, you know, some of his best success ever. So, you know, it's a different situation from the standpoint of, you know, it's being amongst a bunch of guys that are all kind of coming up together. Here's a team that's got some really established stars to it, but there is a lot of pressure on him to try to get out there and perform and do what he does best, and that is sack the quarterback. Speaking of which, there's Dante Fowler, as he talks about how many sacks he's aiming for this coming season.
The goal is to break Michael Strahan's record. Right? I'm not trying to break Michael Strahan's record. Right? I'm not doing anything. That's the goal.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And listen, here's what I'll tell you. See, this goes back to expectation, and this is why I get a little bit frustrated when I hear about the Falcons' expectation. Why is it a bad thing to say Super Bowl or bust? Why, you know, Dante Fowler saying, you know, I'm expecting to break Michael Strahan's record. Will he? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. But at least he puts it out there. I got no problem with somebody that sets an expectation of, let's be the best. And that's where you get my frustration is, wait a second, we're talking about, you know, let's, well, you know, we should be in the mix for a playoff spot. Hell, you paid $500 million to all your guys. Shouldn't you be at least thinking about playoffs? We were in the Super Bowl a few years ago, Arthur. So I'm not going to criticize a guy for, listen, you have to take it for what it is. But I'd much rather have Dante Fowler coming out and saying, I'm trying to break Strahan's record, and that's what you're going for, right? Yeah. Versus, well, you know, I just want to be part of the team. You know, I just want to hopefully, you know, just kind of contribute in any way that I can. Put it out there. I'd rather have a guy that does that. I'm not going to be mad if a guy. Now, listen, if Dante Fowler comes out and says, I'm going to get 60 sacks next year, huh? You know, then I'm going to be like scratching my head saying, what? But if you're a defensive end and you sack the quarterback, you know, that should be an expectation. Just like if you paid Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and Jake Matthews and Deion Jones and Grady Jarrett, then the expectation should be, well, hell, we need to get to the Super Bowl. I want my owner to have the same stance on the Super Bowl that my new defensive end has about setting the sack record. I want the same fire, you know, out of Arthur. Well, you can't do that. You know, he's an executive, and he's the face of the franchise. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with setting the bar high? If you don't set the bar high, then what did you bring Dan and Thomas back for? That's the question that nobody wants to ask. Why did you bring those guys back if there was nothing less than Super Bowl about this team? There has to be. Why would what else? What? Because we're on the right track. What does that mean? Let's hear from Dante Fowler again, as he talks about playing for the Falcons is his destiny.
I'm so happy to like be a Falcon, but it still kind of feels like I was supposed to be a Falcon. So I mean, it's weird, but I'm super happy to be a Falcon.
Look, understand. There's no question about the fact that, you know, he wanted to be here. We knew that for a while. Obviously, he has a relationship with Dan. That's all fine and dandy, okay? But he's brought here to be part of a team to go win the Super Bowl. And he is a key cog and a key piece in how do the Falcons get there. Yes, Matt and Todd and Julio and Calvin and Hayden, they've got to be a dynamic group. And on the flip side of that, the guy that got a big paycheck for it in free agency that's replacing, you know, a top, what was Vic? Sixth pick of the draft? No, eighth pick. Sorry, eighth pick of the draft. You know, you're replacing a top eight pick that this franchise said, we're not bringing back. Yeah, he's got some shoes to fill. I know he wants to be here. I know he's excited about it. You know, back in the South, you know, and all that good kind of stuff. It's awesome. Now I just need him to go out there and sack the quarterback and make these plays and get it done. Let's hear another clip from Dante Fowler as he talks about the Rams gave him the opportunity to get back to starting.
This was my first year starting, so I knew what was going to happen. I just was waiting for the opportunity, and thank God that I was able, that Les Snead and Coach McVay and Coach Wade Phillips, you know, believed in me and let me go out there and showcase my talent.
Well, look, obviously he started his NFL career off on a tough note, you know, injury. What, literally like the first play and first series of you know, OTAs when he was drafted. You know, I mean, obviously he got off to a start that nobody wants to get off to. But, you know, worked his way back, was part of a pretty good Jacksonville team, goes to the Rams, you know, part of, you know, a really good defense, had a chance to start last year for them, and had his best season. Well, now the question becomes, okay, is that what Dante Fowler is and can be, or is it a guy who's battled injuries and maybe hasn't produced at the level? You know, if you gave him 3 for 48, then you better hope that he's the guy that got you 11.5 sacks. And to be honest with you, you know, 11.5 is a really nice number, and I would certainly take it, but I think we're looking for more. Yeah, I think that was a stepping stone. And the question will be, you know, if he gets into a 3 or 4 game rut to start the season with no sacks, immediately the Boo Birds are going to come out and say, wait a second, did he get sacks last year because Aaron Donald was next to him, or did he get sacks because he was that good of a player? And I know they got all the analytics and metrics and all these different things that say, you know, he did this, he did that, you know, and you know, he was on the opposite side of Donald and still got sacks. I mean, okay, at the end of the day, what did we get for it? What is the net result? Before the analytics and make my brain explode, what was the net result of it? And if he's going into a 3 or 4 game funk where he gets, you know, starts the year off with no sacks, there's going to be some panic. There's going to be some angst. Because this can't be the Falcons get eliminated from playoff contention, and now we sack the quarterback. And now we do this, and Isaiah Oliver's playing better, and we sack the quarterback, and everything's great. After a 1-7 start, and your season was over. Now, that can't happen this year. If it does, I would assume, not guaranteed, but you would think we'd be looking for a new coach and GM at that point. So, look, Dante Fowler, he's a huge piece. He's going to have a lot of eyeballs focused on him. The good news is that even if he just replicates what he did last year, it will be a step, a big step up in the right direction, given what this franchise has had to go through for the last basically 3 seasons of trying to figure out who's going to sack the quarterback. All right, when we get back, we are going to talk to our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. There's obviously still a lot going on around the franchise, and we get ready 3 weeks tonight for the NFL draft. We will get to him next. It is the John Chukwu Show coming to you live here on a Thursday night, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to the John Chukwu Show. Rocking your face off! On a Thursday night. 404-741-0929. That's the phone line. That's the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Hey, Atlanta United supporters, we're going to replay Atlanta United radio broadcast from the big three matches, or sorry, from big matches in 2018. It is our road to MLS Cup broadcast over the next 3 weekends. We'll start this Saturday at 5 o'clock, Atlanta United at LA Galaxy from April of 2018. And then on Sunday at 5 o'clock, it will be Atlanta United at Orlando City from August of 2018 as well. Follow us on social media. I'm at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90. And we go out to the WadeFord.com hotline. It is our guy. He is the beat writer for the Falcons for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution on Twitter at DOrlandoAJC. It is D. Orlando Ledbetter. Joins us here live on a Thursday night. D-Led, man, I hope you are safe and healthy and happy, you and the family, and appreciate you jumping on tonight with us.
Sure, John, thanks for having me, and yeah, thanks for asking. Everybody's doing well. We're sheltering and in place and self-distancing and following all the rules there. Just worried about the oldest, who's a TV reporter down in Augusta. I think she has to go out a little bit. So, but other than that, we're doing pretty good.
D-Led, lots of storylines still going on with the Atlanta Falcons. I guess we should be fortunate that that there is a lot going on. Dante Fowler made the rounds today in the media, was on our radio station, you know, as well. Let me ask you just kind of a general question. If I told you that Dante Fowler and Todd Gurley just replicated their same performance from last year this coming season, do you think both of those would be a success for this team?
Yeah, no question about it. That would be a little bit better rushing attack. Gurley did 3,900, a little bit over 1,000. Freeman was 3.8, and I think around 800 total yards, 600, you know. So that would be a little bit of a bump. You could probably throw play action more off of that. Certainly, Fowler's sack numbers, would double pretty close to doubling Beasley. So you'd have a pass rush, a better pass rush, as long as none of it happens on a back end type deal. You know, you got to come out and play the whole season. None of this 1-8 slow starts at the beginning stuff. But those numbers would certainly improve the team at those two spots.
D-Led, obviously the big challenge that we're hearing, and let's take Todd Gurley specifically, is that there's been no signing of the contract because the Falcons can't get the physical done. You know, I guess kind of two parts. You know, you're obviously in tune with the league. I mean, how is the league talking about trying to handle this? Because there's even been some talk about the fact that if some of these guys aren't signed by, like, potentially the end of the draft, teams could void contracts. I mean, what are you hearing about how teams are going to have to try to figure out a way to get this done so that they can get pen to paper and call these guys their own?
Yeah, we saw a couple last week. Michael Brockers went back from the Ravens to the Rams over a medical issue. I saw a note today from one of the reporters covering the Raiders that the Eli Apple deal fell through. I'm not hearing anything like that about Todd Gurley's deal falling through, and it was supposed to be done today, so I think it's come, you know, about that's coming soon. It's just a matter of getting a neutral doctor to review the medicals, and so they don't want the Rams doctor. They can't per league rule get their doctor, so they need a independent doctor where Gurley is. So the Chargers doctor would work, or, you know, the Raiders doctor could be close by. You know, they just got to get the right person to sign off on the injury part of it and then get the deal to make it official. But I understand this is on third base. It's not a first base type thing. We should be hearing something soon on that. So that's what, you know, I saw Eli's deal go down today. So we've been kind of on Gurley watch all week, and that's what we've been able to get. As far as information, while I was like, well, hey, I don't really care if y'all make it official. I'm more worried if it doesn't happen. You know, then I got a big story. If not, you know, we'll go along with, you know, we'll stay the course and, you know, have them going here. So, you know, I was told, don't worry about that. That's not a possibility. So we should be hearing something soon on that.
Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, D. Orlando Ledbetter, joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. I want to expand on that for just a second, though, because I didn't know about this, so I'm just curious. So basically, as long as you get one neutral team, and that's what I was curious about, is how they get this done. So I'm guessing, is that normally true about how all free agent deals are done when it comes to medical, is that players go to a neutral team doctor and get it done, or is there a different process normally, but, you know, about how the physicals are done?
Yeah, the different process is, you know, Rich McKay went over with me earlier, a couple weeks ago. They would fly in to meet the team, but that was more to meet the doctors to get the approval and then sign the deal. You know, none of the negotiation or anything's done in person. It's all over the phone anyway. But, you know, usually when the player comes in for, you know, to meet the coach and all that, that's really to get to go see the team doctors and get approval. Because the deal, they'll strike the deal will be done. Then they'll take the physical from the team, and then they'll sign. That would be the order normally. But now they can't. The league has ordered them that they can't send their doctors to the players. So, you know, in the current pandemic situation, so they got to get a neutral doctor where the player is to approve the injury, or at least give them a recommendation.
D-Led, we talked earlier in the show about the fact that, you know, and it's been kind of the fun stat about this offense, that there's a first round pick at every position on offense, but, you know, now that all these pieces and parts, you know, are in place, is the conversation now being have to be shifted over to, okay, Dirk Cutter, what do you do with this group of guys now that you have all this talent?
Well, no, I'm not in that Dirk Cutter thing, but Dirk's doing a great job as far as I'm concerned. My issue is with the five first-round picks up front that are blocking. You can't have 48 sacks and 135 quarterback hits I mean, I can't call it all, you know, I could call a, you know, I mean, I think you know what I'm saying about who's going to call the offense. When you got that much pressure and you're not, and you're getting stopped on 30% of your runs, a stop is, you know, a loss or no gain. You can't, you're not even getting past the line of scrimmage. So I'm not putting anything on Dirk Koetter until I see those five first-round picks on the line block somebody.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show coming to you live here on a Thursday evening. Out on the WadeFord.com hotline is our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter. Of course, he is the Falcons beat writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution as he joins us here. I am a little bit skeptical of all of these national mock drafts that I see, D-Led, from this standpoint. So many guys are of the opinion, and some of it's because of what Thomas has thrown out there and stuff like that, of the idea of the Falcons moving back, especially in the first round. But history says Thomas has never done that, and he's moved up, I think, six times or five times in his 12-year career here with the Falcons. Right now, what is your gut telling you about the first-round pick? Up, down, stay where they are? What is your gut kind of telling you?
It's up. They got to go up because they're sitting at 16 and nobody can help them at 16. C.J. Henderson will be gone. Javon Kinlaw will be gone. Derrick Brown's gone. Of course, Chase Young is gone. And then, you know, they need pass rush or corner or tackle. And there's no pass rushers in the draft once you get past Chase Young. You know, you can't draft Clavion at 16. Epinesa's at 16 is not going to work. So then you look inside. Javon Kinlaw, but he's not going to make it to 16. So they got to go up and get a player. I mean, they can get a guard or something like that at 16, but you can get that in the second round. So, you know, the cornerback there, you know, after you got Henderson, Christian Fulton, you know, we're working on our mock draft for tomorrow, too, our 2.0, so we'll have that out there. I'll go ahead and tell the people now, I kind of tipped it off. I'm going with Henderson right now. But, you know, he might not get to him at 16, but, you know, that's where I'm at right now. If he's going to go out to get somebody for one of their holes, which, you know, it's pretty clear they need a number one corner. They need a left guard center to eventually take over for Alex Mack. And they need something on the defensive line. Right now, Kaminsky, Jacob Tuota, Mariner, and Deidre Sonata are the key backups on that line. They've got to replace 1,600-plus defensive snaps from Beasley, Adrian Claiborne, and Jack Crawford. So, you know, the holes are pretty clear on where he's got to go. It's just at what points in the draft he's going to address those, you know, major holes on the roster right now.
D-Led, I'm with you. I do kind of think that Henderson may end up being the pick, but to your point, if you want Chase Young, you got to get to two. If you want Jeff Okuda, you got to get to three because the Lions aren't going to let him get past, you know, that. So then the question becomes, you know, how realistic is, I don't know, four, five, six to, you know, listen, if you're telling me we're in the business of Derrick Brown or Javon Kinlaw, I'm in. But I think, you know, you've got to get, if you want Brown, probably four, five, six. Kinlaw, maybe you can, you know, get in the bottom half of the top 10, but I'm with you. I don't know how you get one of those guys without getting at least into the lower to middle half of the top 10 to get him.
Yeah, no doubt. And I did the Chase Young numbers. It's 1,600. It's a lot. You know, this year's first, next year's first, third, it's a bunch. So it's like the Julio deal. So, you know, they got too many hoes to probably do that. But if Kinlaw's leaking, you know, and they were close to going up to get Wilkins last year from Clemson, so they wouldn't have had to go get somebody to run with Grady Jarrett for the next few years. So, but if Kinlaw's slipping to 10-12, I got to look at the partners up there because he only deals with a few folks. So, you know, I think Jacksonville, he's dealt with Cleveland in the past. I think they're at 10. You know, and I got to look at a couple other teams there that will be likely. You know, Denver's another one. I don't know where they're at. I got to look at that. I don't have my list in front of me. But you got to look at his partners who he's dealt with. You know, the Rams are a team they went up with, Seattle. You know, look at everything. It's teams and his guys around the league that he makes trades with. And if some of them are sitting there at between 8 and 12 and they can go get Kinlaw, I think they can go do that.
Follow him on Twitter. He's going to always have lots of great information to keep up with all the Falcons stuff that you need at DOrlandoAJC. Of course, he's the beat writer for the Atlanta Falcons for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution and joined us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. D-Led, as always, buddy, appreciate it, man. Stay safe. Be good. We'll be talking to you here, believe it or not, 3 weeks from tonight. We will know what the Falcons are going to do in that first round.
No question about it, John. Thanks for having me as always, and you take care of yourself and stay safe also, my friend.
You got it. Thanks, D-Led. We will be back. It will be time for What's Bugging Chukri. You said it. You meant it. Own it. Stop apologizing. We'll talk about that next. John Chukri Show, Sports Radio, Nats on the Game, and on the Radio.com app. Back on the John Chukri Show, Sports Radio, Nats on the Game. I apologize. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm eating a Slim Jim stick with cheese. You know, it's got one of the, you know, the little two-pack thing. It's got the beef and cheese to it. I bought a whole box of those things because I got them at the clearance store, and it was really cheap. So, sorry, just was finishing up and forgot we were about to head back into the segment. 404-741-0929 is the phone line. That is also the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Follow us on Twitter at JMCH316. He's at Jarvis90. I do want to say one quick thing before we get to What's Bugging Chukri. I know a lot of folks obviously pay attention to what's going on social media and saw some of the things that were happening today and, you know, some things that had hit us here locally. And just, you know, want to say, you know, it was a rough day again here for the radio station and, you know, an intercom stations and things like that. We lost, you know, some more friends to furloughs and layoffs and things like that. So, you know, it's a rough time for everybody. You know, I mean, it's getting to be a rough time for everybody. Trust me, we're feeling the pain as well. You know, we've lost not just folks that are colleagues and coworkers, you know, of ours, but I mean, Jarvis will tell you, you know, we're losing people that are friends of ours. You know, these are guys that have become more than just, you know, hey, we pass in the hallway and say, hey. I mean, these are guys that we talk to, have a lot of discussions with, you know. You know, we get together at certain events and things like that, and, you know, it's become more of a friendship than just a working relationship. So we're all being hit by it. The good news is, I will tell you, you know, we're expected to roll right along as is. No changes to anything as far as the content that you hear over the air. So we're going to be here with you every single night. We'll be here with you Monday through Friday, you know, on a nightly basis. So we're not going anywhere, and it's all good. It's just hard when you see people that you've become friends with, you know, people that you've worked with for, you know, there's people at the radio station I've worked with for 4, 5, 6, almost 7 years. Seven, actually, some of those people over 7 years that you've become friends with. And I don't think people understand, you know, the funny thing I get from people, you know, is, you know, like, you know, how you know, Jarvis transitioned to working with you. It's obviously a different style with Andy and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, you know, Jarvis and I worked together long before there was a bunker mentality or he was on Dukes and Bell or anything like that. I mean, you know how many nights on a Saturday and Sunday that me, Jarvis, and Sam Mitchell spent from 10 to 2 on the 8th floor? You know, we'd worked together long before there was any John Chukri Show or anything like that, or he even got a chance to work with Andy. I mean, we'd spent a lot of time working together when we first started because he was part-time, I was part-time. And we were all just kind of working together on these weird weekend shifts. And it would be 10 to 2, 2 to 6. I mean, you know, we all did that that stuff. So that's why I was kind of laughing. People act like Jarvis and I just kind of came together here and just started kind of working together. Now, obviously, we're working a lot more regularly than what we did before. But Jarvis and I used to, we were all the time together when it was me, him, and Sam. So, you know, there's a lot of history there. And you hate to see friends of yours that you've developed those relationships with, you know, over the years and stuff like that, get caught up in, unfortunately, all the things that are going on in the world today. But it's just kind of the reality that we live in. So, you know, shout out to all my friends and coworkers that are no longer with us, and they'll come back and prosper. And, you know, who knows, as we get back to normalcy and get down the road, that, you know, maybe some of those people come back and get to be a part of what we do here and have some fun with it. So, all right, let's get to it. Maybe we'll try to pick up the pace a little bit in my tone with What's Bugging Chukri.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chukri ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Buggin' Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All right, so we talked about the Kirk Herbstreit comments about how he said he really doesn't think that there is going to be any NFL or college football season. Okay? And we talked about it and we broke all that down. Now, you know, Kirk is entitled to his opinion. He's very popular, very well liked. I'm not a big fan of his per se. Nothing personal against him. I don't think he's always that insightful and things like that, but that's fine. I mean, everybody's got their tastes and stuff like that of what they like and don't like. Trust me, there are people who love me, people who hate me when I get on the radio, okay? People who loathe the sound of my voice, people who want to spend, you know, hours, you know, hanging out, drinking beer and doing stuff. So I get it. It runs the whole gamut. That's just part of the business that you're in. So Kirk said what he said. Missouri coach Eli Drinkwitz, okay, new Missouri coach, was on a Zoom press conference here yesterday, I guess this was. And he responded to the comments that Herbstreit said, saying, quote, "No offense to Mr. Herbstreit, but deciding who's going to win a game on college game day is a lot different than getting the world in a panic about whether or not we're going to play a college football season." And then asked about whether there's going to be a 2020 season, he said, "For me to forecast anything in the future is a lot of wasted energy and effort." He says, "Those thoughts get people concerned with what's irrelevant right now." Okay? Now listen, I'll say it just like I said with Herbstreit. Herbstreet's entitled to his opinion. The head coach of Missouri is entitled to his. Obviously, the head coach of Missouri has a lot invested in the idea of having a football season. Okay? But... okay, because it's 2020, we can't have an opinion. We can't just say what we really mean and put it out there for the universe, let it be judged, and move on. Nope. What do we do in 2020, everybody? We have to apologize. So on an appearance on the Paul Feinbaum show, the voice of reason, Paul Feinbaum, Eli Drinkwitz apologized to Kirk Herbstreit about the comments, saying, quote, "I did not mean anything toward Kirk Herbstreit or to take a shot at him. I hope he would accept my apology. My point was we are focused on today." I don't know if you can hear that. That's me crumbling up my paper. I am so sick of these people apologizing for this stuff. I don't think anything that coach said was out of line. And I understand his emotion to it. But, you know, God forbid people would take shots at good old Herbie. God forbid Herbstreit would be, you know, non-critiquable, if that's even a word, or without critique. Because I can give you 45 examples of where Kirk Herbstreit would say stuff, and I'd be like, what is he talking about? Trust me, my buddy Robbie and I still to this day talk about that broadcast of the national title game of Ohio State and Oregon and some of the dumb things he was saying during that broadcast. But heaven forbid, you know, if we say anything negative back. And I said, I don't think what Drinkwitz said is that bad. I don't, you know, he took a sort of a shot at Herbstreit. Yeah. Herbstreet's the one who made the comment. Herbstreet's a big boy. He gets paid a lot of money to say smart things, dumb things, have an analysis, and things like that. But oh no, oh no. We have to go on that voice of reason. The guy who made Harvey Updike and Phyllis from Mulga radio stars, Paul Feinbaum, and say, yeah, I should have. Why? You said what you said because that's what you believe, and you mean it. But we got to walk it back. We've got to apologize. Screw that. We know you've got a lot invested, Coach. We know. I think it's ridiculous to sit here and talk about, you know, this was back in not even the end of March that Herbstreit said, oh, we're not going to have a football season. Well, how do you know that? And think about the financial ramifications of not having college football, Kirk. Because it will affect a lot of what you love, Kirk, will be greatly affected if there isn't football. And I promise you, they're going to go into empty stadiums or whatever it takes to get the TV and get the football on the TV. They're going to figure it out. So I don't have any problem with what the guy from Missouri said, but oh no, it's 2020. God forbid we just stick to our opinion and move on. Nope, we got to make it double down and everybody now get on because he had to apologize. And he took what I don't think was a statement that needed an apology and turned it into now everybody's going to be like, how could he take shots at old Herb Street? How could he do that to such a great college football analyst? He may be right, you know. He may be. He may be completely wrong, too. I know Herb Street wants to be wrong because he's in the college football business. But in 2020, if we say something that we believe, half the time nowadays we got to go back and apologize to it. Oy vey. All right. About half wore me out there. I need some more cheese and Slim Jim stick. All right, when we get back, we're going to get into the Falcon flyover. Some more comments from Dante Fowler in his media tour today. We'll also hear from Matt Ryan, who was on Peter King's podcast, and a couple of things that he had to say today. That's all coming up next at the top of the hour. It will be time for the Falcon flyover. It is the John Chuckery Show with you here on a Thursday night. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and on the Radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.